Poverty Inc. is going to be showing a Fuller film on Saturday, this Saturday, at the Knickerbocker Theater at 7 o'clock. Admissions is free, and concession stands are free as well, too. So if you want to know more about this, 7 o'clock this Saturday, Knickerbocker Theater. Welcome back from spring break. You guys are looking good. Very nice. Very nice to see different immersion troops, groups sitting together. I see people who have a little darker tan going on and some people who did stay-home vacations or whatever they call them. But we're glad to have you guys back. We love when you guys come back, but we don't mind when you leave campus for a little while, too. That's good as well. So, hey, this morning we are working on the book of James. We've been doing that this semester, so I want you to open up your Bibles, smartphones, to James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. James 4, verses 13 through 16. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find it on page 982. This morning, Kendra Williams, who is the office manager of the Freed International Center, will be reading our scripture this morning. Kendra? Thank
you. Hear the word of the Lord. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Keep your Bibles open or your smartphones on here. You know, when you first hear this text, you could almost feel like James is almost advocating that it's foolish to plan. But that really can't be a correct interpretation because it's really not consistent with the whole of Scripture where we see that it's really foolishness not to plan. So what is James saying to us today? I think the issue that James is trying to get across is that the issue of planning isn't what he's focusing on, but the attitude of one's heart when we plan. And he's really, in this short little three verses here, is pointing out really two ways in which people think of planning. One way is, you know, when I plan something, it's all in my control, right? I plan because I control my destiny. That's one view of how we can plan. The second is planning with the acknowledgement that ultimately we have responsibilities, but ultimately that God is in control. Two very different worldviews, right? And James is trying to make a distinction between those two worldviews in this text here. And those two worldviews get much more clear when we are in a situation that is out of our control, right? A few years ago, that happened firsthand with Kendra Williams. Kendra, early July 2010, mm-hmm. was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. Mm-hmm. Out of your control.
Completely.
What was that like?
Well, you talk about scary. It takes the breath away. You don't know where to turn initially. And my boys were planning to come to Hope in the fall as freshmen. We had all these plans.
Yeah.
I thought that I had the perfect summer laid out, ready for them to start classes in the fall. And with one phone call, our entire world was changed. Flipped upside down.
Yeah. So how old are you at this point, 2010?
I was 44.
44. So at age 44, you get this news. You're saying that I'm way too young for 44.
Absolutely.
This happens to other people, but not me.
Yeah.
But it did happen in your family.
Mm.
Your dad, mm-hmm. at age 44.
He died.
Of cancer.
Yes.
So now what's going through your mind? You're at age 44 and you're saying, wow, my world has just turned upside down.
And I just thought, holy cow, you know, I went through this as a child. Cancer was a huge part of my growing up because my dad was sick for 10 years. And my prayer always was, I never wanted my kids' world to be about cancer. I wanted them to grow up and have joy. I wanted them to bring their friends over. I wanted it to be a normal life for them. And then when you get this call, I just couldn't believe it was happening to us or to me or to them.
Yeah, yeah. So you get the news, and how does that impact, you were talking a little how it's impacting your marriage, and you have two boys at that point ready to go off to college, but how did it impact your relationship with God?
Initially, I was really upset with him. I just felt so betrayed that after I had weathered this with my father and gone through it, I kind of thought that, oh, well, I checked that box, and I shouldn't have to do that again. But after going through the initial shock and putting together a treatment plan, he was my rock. I mean, I don't know that I or my family would have gotten through this process without the grace of our Heavenly Father, the strength that He gave on a daily basis, the peace that was there because of the prayers of those who supported us.
Yeah. So thinking about that very specifically, you know, the always you get that news like that, and the first question is why, right?
Yeah.
Why God? Why does this happen to me?
Yeah.
But then I've talked to other people who've gone through situations like yours, and one person, a wise person, said, I stopped asking the why questions, and I started asking the where question. God, where are you in the midst of this? So specifically, where did God meet you? Can you think of like instances of a day when you were really down or something, and God's mercy, can you think of anything?
There were so many. I mean, I just feel like His mercies just, they were countless. And there's a verse that came to mind through this whole process for me about God surrounds us with this great cloud of His witnesses, and they are going to be with you to run the race marked before you with perseverance. And there are truly angels on earth. And I just feel like God showed Himself daily in the people I work with, in my family, in our friends, in the people from church. And I am here to say there are angels on this earth. And I'm just so grateful that people in our lives allowed God to use them. They were such a witness and pillars of strength. On the days that you just were kind of feeling down, somebody would show up and say, let's go do something. Or people who drove me to chemo that I didn't know. And there were people there every time I needed them to be, and that wasn't a mistake. That wasn't by accident. Yeah. That was God's tender mercy.
Which is a great witness of, we know within this community alone here at Hope College, and we know it, many of folks who are sitting here today are dealing with kind of different issues within their own family or different things that they're going through individually, and the importance of us as a community coming alongside, a kind word, how can I help, how can I, to pray for folks when days probably you couldn't even pray, you know, somebody was praying on your behalf, the importance of community. So we talked about planning and the attitude of the heart. You're a mom. Dang moms, you love to control. Love control, don't you?
Do.
Fathers
Absolutely.
Do too. I love it. I love to control my kids' lives. Okay, so here you are as a mom. You know, as you were saying, you got two sons, married to David there, and thinking, okay, so how has this changed your life? You know, going through something that you have no control of. By God's mercy, you're here, and that was 2010. That was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So how has that whole experience, going through something like that, changed the way you live now?
I thought, because of what happened with my dad, that I was living very purposefully. I mean, I thought I knew to cherish life and that every day mattered. But I think what I learned the most if I'm looking back and as I was thinking about diagnosis and each day after that, is that the freedom and the joy that came for me when I was able to say to God, I am completely out of this. I will do my part. I will do what my doctors tell me to do. But for tomorrow, that is left to you. And the moment that I stopped planning and worrying and gave everything to him, the freedom that came from that was just something that I want to remember every single day as I lift my head from the pillow and know that I am thankful to have one more day.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, a lot of times we think of meeting God in the mountaintop experiences. A lot of kids went on immersion trips or did different things, and you see God in wonderful, miraculous ways, kind of the mountaintop. But the realization in the Christian life, we meet God a lot of times in the desperate times, right? In the dark valleys. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Psalm 23 where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, he leads me beside still waters, green pastures," the mountaintops. But then it goes on, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, you are with me." God meets us in very different ways that we'd never experience him in when we're walking through the dark valley. Can you think of that? I mean, can you say amen?
Amen, absolutely.
You want to add on to that?
Well, there's so
amen
much.
Again?
Amen
all
again.
Right, all right.
I feel like he meets us where we're at. And one piece of advice I was given from a very dear friend as we walked this journey and he walked with us was that if I was to look at my life with a heavenly timeline instead of an earthly timeline, if we just think of our time on earth as just such a small little blip on this radar screen, and eternity is awaiting us, it just made the fear of the unknown, it went away.
That's awesome. Kendra, there's probably some folks out here are going, gosh, you know, I'm experiencing some of this in my family right now. Would you be open to, like, if somebody sent you an email to say, Kendra, I'd like to talk to you more, would you talk to them?
I would be honored. Absolutely. Thanks. Absolutely.
Thanks. You know, at time's running out, would you close us in prayer?
I will. Absolutely. Thank you all. Yeah. Father God, there is so much for which to be thankful. Today we direct our praise to you for your promise never to leave us and never to forsake us. Bless us, Lord, as we lean into trusting you more fully. May we feel you close and may we trust you more. In your holy name only, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Go in peace.